keep it alive. Through these lines I write, I keep it live, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you feeling them flares, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario on stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock like I told you. I'm doing this for...
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Anti-Media Radio. Thank you guys, all of our previous listeners. Thanks for coming back and joining us here tonight on Wednesday. We have some great news for you guys. For all of us, I guess. We're getting ready to go 5 days a week, which is... pretty cool. All at the same time, Monday, Wednesday, Monday through Friday, basically. And of course, with LaVon on Fridays. And we're going to have SM Gibson and Diedrich Young as well on Tuesday and Thursday. And me and DB will be popping in and out and helping them out. But it's going to be a whole nother show. We're just trying to broaden out our horizons and really bring this content to you guys every day of the week, so it's a little bit more of a you know, a little more convenient. So if you're busy on Wednesday or if you're busy on Friday, you can still listen on Monday, whatever. Same time though, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 Eastern, 1 hour for now. And of course, you'll always be able to catch me and DB on Monday and Tuesday. And I'm joined here right now with DB on the line. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Nick. Doing well. Just kind of seeing the last couple of days, what's gone on to shape, I guess, our American future. The last couple of days have seen a couple crazy things happen, even here locally. And I mean, people, if they're at least waking up, if not getting inconvenienced.
Yeah, man. Definitely. I mean, this, and we've been talking about this for a while. That. We you know, this isn't just about Ferguson anymore. Ferguson, it was like the match that kind of lit the fire. But as everybody has probably seen, there's been mass protests against police brutality, the police state, the drug war, and all that all over the country. In fact, there's protests planned in Canada. There's protests planned in Mexico, and I just found out that there's a protest that went on today in London. In solidarity with the Ferguson protesters, because England has a horrible police state. In many ways, they're worse than what we have here in the U.S. In many ways, we are worse too, but it's comparable. So this is a worldwide phenomenon now, man. And people, and I've seen it. I've been working with Cop Block for the past year and a half, and I remember when I first partnered up with them, there was like 30,000 followers on their Facebook page, and then if you look now, they've got like 1.3 million or something like that. I mean, people, it's been going on since before Mike Brown was shot, but there's been a growing anti-police movement, not police, but anti-police state movement because of the internet, because people are able to use their cell phones to take video and show what's going on, because for so long, We were reliant on this, you know, corporate media, NBC, ABC, Fox News, all that crap, CNN, for our information. But a point that I made today in this article that I'm going to talk about is that the younger generation isn't so influenced by all this corporate media, man. They don't watch CNN. They don't watch Fox News. The people that watch Fox News are in their 60s. The people that watch everything else are in their 50s. I mean, we're talking about the past generation that no longer physically does anything much because the young people
unfortunately are the ones... they vote and they pay tax though.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why we have such an oligarchy, man, because so few people vote. Such an older demographic vote, and they're completely out of touch about what the young people want to do, you know. And the young people are the people that end up having to be sacrificed in wars and paying all these taxes for Social Security that we're never going to get.
Well, the Social Security is an absolute farce because part of Obama's amnesty plan was he was going to give access to Social Security to people that had put in 5 years into the economy. They could now come out of the shadows and they'd be eligible for Social Security. You know why they're doing that? They know it's bankrupt already. Who the hell cares what they promise?
Yeah, and the reason why they want to all of a sudden they want to allow immigrants into the Social Security pool is because they know it's going bankrupt. If they don't add new people to it that are young that are going to work and pay into it, then they're going to have to start cutting the checks of the old people. And like you said, the old people are the ones that vote. If you cut their checks, right. I mean, all these politicians are done.
Well, and it's like a half-assed thing too because, get this, then they said, unfortunately, these so-called illegal immigrants are going to be unable to enroll in the Affordable Care Act. Like, as if we're getting some kind of favor that we can.
Oh, they're acting like we're getting hooked up with Obamacare. Oh, man, that's crazy. But yeah, man, the younger people that aren't so shackled by the brainwashing that took place to all of our parents mostly with the corporate media and all this crap that is still perpetuated on CNN and Fox News, all the younger people that are access to the internet are starting to see this injustice, man. We're starting to see the other narrative that's actually happening, reality. You know, it's not all fun and games where Israel is just a good nation and Palestinians are bad people. The younger generation understands the injustice that's going on, just as they understand the problem with the police state. And as I was saying, when working with CopBlock and seeing the exponential growth there, there's been a big sentiment growing for a long time, and Ferguson is basically the event that precipitated all of that, you know, all of that stuff that was happening. We do have a caller on the line from 917. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, man, I'm just checking in. I'll chime in as you guys continue on.
All right, cool. If you could do me a favor and mute up your phone until you're ready to talk so that we don't get any feedback.
I'm both on the line like that. I got you.
Yeah, no problem. So, you know, this is really the event that precipitated all this stuff to happen. And here in San Diego, there's protests going on right now as we speak, and we're on the other side of the country. Last night, there was, like, one of the most radical protests that I've ever seen in San Diego. And I've been going to, I don't know, I can't even tell you how many protests I've gone to in San Diego. I mean, we helped organize the first march against Monsanto, which had an enormous amount of people, like 2,000. But last night, I mean, people were really passionate about what was going on, man. People were really passionate about standing up against the police state, and they pushed the boundaries. I mean, we had like at least 8 standoffs with police. A few people got arrested. Nobody got hurt, but we did block the freeway off a few, like 3 times, and we really sent a message. And the thing was, man, the thing that I noticed when we were going, we blocked off the freeway, and then we started walking up through the traffic, you know, going the opposite way of the traffic because it was stopped. A lot of the people that were in the traffic, that were in the crowd, in the cars, stuck in the traffic, they were out, they were cheering us on, high-fiving people, and completely down with the cause. I mean, this is a movement that it has been at it for a while, but I think it's finally coming to a tipping point where I think in the very, very near future, we're going to start seeing some real reforms. If not, at the very least, the cops are just going to be less less trigger happy because they know the kind of outcry, the kind of public shaming that they're going to get. They're going to think twice before they blast the next guy. You know, just like they blasted that kid in Cleveland. We saw the video that came out today, that 12-year-old boy that had a BB gun.
Yeah, and in a way, you have to think, like, of all the things that got media coverage, why was this case spotlit? Why was it brought to the forefront? You know what I mean? It happens every day. And the thing is, man, it's a perfect place to do this martial law test, right? The middle of the country, a city that's half black, half white, and it's in the heartland, and it's going down as the economy goes down because they're tied to stuff that we don't do anymore, like manufacturing. So, yeah, man, it was chosen strategically, but you know what? It didn't work out for him at all. Like, really what it did was I think it started to make the cops understand, like, hey, if these people just decided to go apeshit, we're outnumbered 100-1, we're screwed. Like, we need to probably start cleaning house internally. I think we're going to start seeing that preemptively.
Yeah, man, one thing I was thinking about today, because last night, like I was saying about our protest here in San Diego, we only had about 500 people. And you got to keep in mind, San Diego is a huge town. San Diego County has about 3 million plus people in the whole county. And there are people here from all over the county. But what we were able to do with the 500 people that we had, and keep in mind, there probably were about between 100 and 150 cops eventually, because we caused so much, we caused them such a huge headache that they had to keep calling in reinforcements. But the thing that I was thinking about, I'm like, dude, that was only 500 people, and we were able to play a chess game with these cops where we tricked them into thinking we were going down one of the freeway entrances, and they moved all of their guys to one freeway on-ramp. And then once they all moved to the one on-ramp, the people in the back of the protest ran to the other side and took the other on-ramp.
Imagine what we can do when we have drones.
Yeah, man. And the point that I was really wanting to get to is that this is only 500 people. And they had literally had
all of America stood up.
Exactly.
All of America stood up. And we're tired of this. We're tired of being pulled over for no reason, taking our money, and then killing us all the time.
Yeah, man. And I was thinking, like, with 500 people, we did that. But what if 50,000 showed up? And that's not even that much, thinking about San Diego County. We could easily get 50,000 people. There's a couple hundred thousand people within the ages of like 18 and 30 out here. So these guys are starting to realize how outnumbered they really are. And think about the first time in Ferguson. I don't know how many precincts they've called in this time, but I remember last time back in August when the shooting first happened, they had to call in 25 different precincts in order to back up to get enough cops down there to try to contain everybody.
Well, what are the cops thinks going to happen if they actually get this country into a civil war type scenario? Do they actually think we're just going to have some kind of peaceful coexistence with the police? They're going to be target number one, and then we'll probably get invaded at the same time. So they're playing right in the hands of this globalist scheme, and these guys need to wake the fuck up.
Man, over here, people are getting molested. Like, children are getting molested. Drugs are everywhere. And what they want to do is pull you over for riding your bicycle and give you a ticket. Just nickel and dime you for every little thing. Over here, it's not killing. It's just pulling little kids over and just going crazy.
Yeah, man. I mean, the police state takes so many different faces. I mean, it could be right in your face, you know, beating you up, throwing you in the back of a police cruiser for drunk driving, or you get pulled over and you get found with weed in your car in a state that is very strict on weed, and you can go to jail for that stuff, you know, even if you're not technically, you know, driving under the influence or anything like that. And I think, you know, people of so many different parts of the country, so many different you know, demographics, basically, are affected by this, and that's why it's become so big. If you look at the live streams going on in Ferguson, the corporate media wants to play it up as this whole black versus white thing. I don't think so. If you look at the protesters in Ferguson, like 40% of the people down there are white. I mean, everybody is standing up against the police state, and the corporate media is trying to frame this as some kind of, oh,
yeah,
it's white
racism
versus black stuff, but it's not. I mean,
it's
true
that
the justice system is massively institutionally racist, But the people out there protesting, it's not anything white versus black. It's people standing up for justice all together. Everybody, all the corporate media wants to turn this into some polarizing thing. I'm sorry, but this is the youth in revolt. The young people are done. They're not brainwashed by this state-run media. They're not brainwashed by the propaganda. They get all their information from the internet, and they're done. They've seen through the facade. Basically, what I'm saying is the jig is up. And I think this movement is going to be big, man. And unfortunately, you know, it's just like any other movement. Just like what was the latest social revolution? It was social media, right? Who were the first people mm-hmm. to adopt social media? Young people adopted Facebook, and then college kids young kids adopted MySpace, and then college kids adopted Facebook. All movements start from the youth, and then they move upwards. And that's what's happening right now. People are so done with this propaganda, man. You see CNN getting thrown out of these protests. Yep. Fox News getting their cameras smashed up because people can't stand Fox News.
Well,
I mean, people
fascism?
Are starting to get it, man.
They're putting the wrong narrative out. They're not seeing the right narrative. It's all black on black, all this and that. No, it's the police going crazy for no reason. And they're not being liable for anything they do anymore.
Yeah, I mean... Maybe we're going to have civilian courts for these guys. I have no idea how to rein this shit in.
So we're also joined on the line.
I got stopped on my bicycle the other day, and I got searched. And I said, "Officer, I don't give consent to this." And he puts his hands in my pockets, and I'm like, "Officer, stop." And I get disturbing the peace for telling the officer, "Get your hands on my pockets." And he just keeps writing me up on the ticket for every little thing. Is it against the law to ask him to stop doing that? That's my civil right to stop searching me. He searched me, didn't find nothing on me. You're going to jail, you're going to jail. Didn't find nothing. Oh, here's a ticket.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I mean, he just completely goes against everything that the police are supposed to be. They're supposed to be the protectors of our civil rights, of our civil liberties. They're supposed to stop other people from violating our rights. Unfortunately,
exactly.
With the militarization of the police and this whole post-9/11 mentality where everything's all about security over liberty, these guys are basically trained now to violate our rights. Every time I get pulled over, these guys, they try to come up with a reason to search my car. Now, almost every time they try to, I've been able to shut them down, except for that the one time I got taken into that border checkpoint that goes between San Diego and Orange County. And I tried to refuse the search, but they brought the canine unit out, and then they brought the canine unit to walk the canine around my car. And supposedly they say that the canine was signaling from outside of my car that there was something in my car, and that gave them probable cause. Unfortunately, I was watching the canine the entire time, and the dog never changed it, never gave any signals. It was just barking the entire time. But, you know, that's what these guys are doing now. They've turned in not a peace officer. I mean, these are walking civil rights violators, man. That's what
these are, code violation agents. That's all they are now.
I asked the officer, I've never been in trouble my entire life. Is it okay if I call my mother? He said, put your hand in your pocket, I'm going to tase you. I was, what is going on here? I've never been in trouble with the police. We're having an altercation because I'm riding my bike. And there's child molesters. You hear on the news over here in Louisiana, child molester's been free for 2 years. No one does a thing. I get stopped on my bicycle. Like, what is their job?
Yeah, man. I mean, there was an article, 2 weeks ago, out of the freethoughtproject.com that basically showed that there was about 5,000 or more rape kits that were never tested. So, like, literally, women have come to the police and said, hey, I've been raped. They do a rape test kit on these women, and then like 5,000 of them have never even been checked out. They've never even been tested. You know what I'm saying? Like,
even
they're not
college,
even they're not
even at college.
Backlogged.
They tell women, oh, don't, if you get raped in college, don't say anything. It's going to be bad. What are we promoting in America now? Our whole system is just falling apart.
We're promoting a 9mm you can put in your purse.
We have another caller on the line from Los Angeles. Manny, how's it going, man?
Hey, how you doing? Stuff like that. Well, you know how I feel about everything that's true, stuff like that. But let me tell you now that it's like I tell people, I don't use bad language. There's protesters out there with their moms or grandmas, young kids. You can look at my any interview, you know, protesting in El Salvador, Colombia, stuff like that. That's where the real activists come from. You know, and no disrespect to people in the United States, but as an occupier and a protester here in the United States, it's Mickey Mouse comparing to everywhere outside of the country. I like to see protesters really get fired up and go outside of the country and see what it's really all about, the real world. You know, yeah, exactly, and that's what I'm doing. But one of the things that really, really bothers me when I see, you know, this happening is that in other places, not Ferguson, but in other places, we have divisions between, I mean, I got black people telling my brown people to go home, and brown people telling black people to get the hell out of Dodge, you know, and stuff like that. We can't be having this whining around and stuff like that and complaining. It's just, I mean, we are having problems within our own ranks in the Latino community, and that I see in the black community. They're having, where brothers killing brother, we're kind of like fighting amongst each other and stuff like that, and that's what the government likes to see us doing and stuff like that. I like to see put that energy into fighting for the real cause. And I'm getting tired of our black brothers and brown brothers thinking that every white person is no good. I don't like that. That's racism. I don't care how you look at it and stuff like that, because when it comes to justice, I mean, true brothers that have love, you know, and stuff like that, we all come in different colors and different flavors, like I like to say, vanilla, dark chocolate, mocha, rainbow, you name it, and stuff like that, you know. And so we have more problems than just Ferguson, and that's what I try to tell people. I'm not just an occupier. I'm not just a Ferguson person. I go out there. I'm having problems right now with administrations telling San Diego State, you got to look into these rape cases and stuff like that. I mean, I cannot believe that our women, our goddesses, are going to college to superb themselves, to make themselves somebody, stuff like that, and they get raped, and nobody says nothing, stuff like that. We should be mad about something like that. We should be mad when a transgender gets attacked by the cops and stuff like that, not just a black man or a brown man. We need to be standing up when somebody gets attacked because they're gay or something else. So we really need to fire up and step it up a notch and stuff like that in the right direction, not the wrong direction. Oh, geez, we've been closing freeways for a long time. That's Mickey Mouse now. Let's start closing police stations. Let's start closing airports. Let's start getting bigger and stuff like that. But let's not damage the businesses of our brothers and sisters. I don't like to see them burning down a business that is owned by a mom and pop. You know, and it might even happen to be our neighbors. That is not what I want to see, you know, and I don't want to see that legacy. I want to be an activist that they can say, I don't want people to say, Manny, we remember you, in your 29 years, we remember you burning down this, you know, and it happened to be a business of a mom and pop. No, I want my legacy to say, Manny, he's never disrespectful to anybody, even if he doesn't like their police officers. And right now, I'm very disappointed at these young kids, because once they did something that no true activist does, went over the line by putting Mike Brown, on a memorial of this police officer, bad or good, it doesn't matter. You still do not go across the line, because if that would have been Cesar Chavez or the memorial of Dr. King and you traveled with Mike Brown, I would have been just a really aggressive about it and stuff like that.
Yeah, I saw that sign last night. The one you're talking about, it was a sign that was put over at the memorial park where the protest was taking place last night in San Diego. It was for a fallen officer that was killed. That was actually a good cop. He was he helped the community a lot, or, you know, a lot of things like that. But they put they covered his name and put a banner of Mike Brown over the top of it. But I definitely agree with you, man, that we have to step up.
Not go overboard.
We have to step up our activism game, though, in the U.S., because as you were saying, man, people around the world are putting U.S. activists to shame with the lack of radical tactics and things like that. I'm not advocating any kind of violence or anything, but like you said, I mean, going more radical, shutting down airports, shutting down police stations, things like that. I mean,
but
that would send a much
big,
bigger signal.
Get violent. I think that's the biggest worry on everyone's mind, is that because we know how heavy-handed the cops are. Imagine the free reign that who the hell knows would come out of the woodworks if a bunch of people did shut down an airport.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's hard to say what would happen. But we do have Justin King on the line right now, and he's one of the journalists that works with us at the Anti-Media, and he's actually in Ferguson right now. How you doing, Justin?
Pretty good, but I'm actually back in Ohio now. I'm out of Ferguson.
So, all right, so you already went back to Ohio.
Yeah, I took off late last night, or everything ran together. I haven't been back long.
What's up, Justin? Pretty good. How are you?
So you wrote an awesome article that we published today about what went on in Ferguson, and it kind of touches on what we were talking about right now with the whole rioting factor and all that stuff. But you made an important point, and I think it's something that I wanted to bring up tonight, is that the rioting didn't actually take place until the rights of the protesters were actually violated and the protests were stopped and they tried to contain the protests and all that stuff. If you could elaborate on that a little bit as far as what you saw and the firsthand accounts that you took and kind of let us know, you know, what really went on over there.
Well, you know, you have the narrative that the traditional media is pumping out, and it's not accurate. Basically, the verdict was read. People started chanting. People got upset. They started a march. Now, when they started marching, there was, you know, stuff that goes along with a march. Yes, somebody threw a bottle at a cop. Yeah, when the verdict first got announced, a guy took a rock and threw it up against the fire department, hit a window, and broke it. That was about the extent of it. There wasn't a riot at that point. Then people started moving. Everything calmed down. A block, two blocks up the road, they're met with riot cops and MRAPs and everything. The police did not intend on allowing a protest. My honest belief was that their theory was if they used a huge show of force in the beginning, they could send everybody home and end it. The problem was people were a little bit too angry for that. They fired tear gas, they fired rubber bullets, and a riot broke out. Would it have broken out had they not done that? We'll never know. There were people there that were obviously ready to do it, but I think they needed that spark. I think they needed the police to show that they did not care. And the second that happened, it went from a rowdy march to a riot. I talked to some of the guys that were throwing the canisters back at the cops, and there were a lot of people there that were prepared to, let's just say, use a little bit more extreme form of activism. The problem was the numbers weren't there. Of the people that were ready to do it. There was a group that really, they wanted to roll the riot line. And these guys knew how to do it. But they just didn't have enough people that were ready to actually make the rush. And I think that's the problem that law enforcement's going to run into very soon. Is, you know, for the last decade, the U.S. military has been sending people overseas to overthrow governments. These guys didn't forget how to do this stuff when they came home. They know how to do it. They trained other people to do it. They can teach U.S. citizens to do it. And
yeah.
I think they're going to start running into it a whole lot more often.
And a lot of those guys are very disenfranchised. A lot of these veterans, I mean, I don't know if you guys saw this article that I posted on the anti-media a couple days ago, about all these veterans and active duty even that were telling, they sent an open letter to the Missouri National Guard telling them to stand down and join the side of the protesters. A lot of these vets are so disenfranchised with what the government has done to them. Look at all the veterans from Iraq that are now anti-war. There's a huge group called Iraq Veterans Against the War and the Veterans for Peace and all these huge groups of veterans that understand kind of, you know, they went there and they did their thing, but then they realize, okay, well, maybe we were being taken advantage of. These wars aren't really for the national defense. They're more for corporate profits and stuff. So a lot of these guys are already disenfranchised or disillusioned as it is with American foreign policy and the American government in general. I can't tell you how many veterans I know that I hang out with on a regular basis that are completely on the same page of activism and of the state of affairs that we are. So I think you're making a huge point here about how the veterans, being that they're so disenfranchised, and then look at all these, the VA scandal and all the guys that got injured or got PTSD, got mental disabilities from all the horrific things that happened to them overseas, and they're treated like shit when they come home. There's, I guess, a huge potential. And you were telling me before, Justin, that we do have a decent amount of people that are in the military and a lot of veterans that do read a lot of our articles and stuff because, you know, they appreciate the fact that we are trying to keep them out of these unjust wars and stuff. And last night, I noticed here in San Diego, a lot of those cops, man, I'm telling you, a lot of those cops were young people, and I got a few of them nodding when I was talking to them about the drug war and about how they need to stop enforcing unjust laws. And a few of these guys were nodding and basically saying, yes, I agree with you, man. And a few of these guys were throwing up peace signs to us, and they were saying, like, yeah, dude, I mean, we agree with you. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of us are kind of just have to do our job. But all it takes is for us to get enough people within these departments to say, you know what, you guys are right. We've been doing it all wrong. We need to stop jailing people over the drug war. We need to stop harassing minorities just because we suspect them of doing all kinds of things. I think there's a big possibility for these people that are within the system to break ranks and kind of come over to the side of this new thinking, this new anti-state thinking. What do you think about that?
There definitely is. I mean, you know, Anonymous has a mole inside of St. Louis County. The lady that put us up, when we went into Ferguson, she housed me and she housed some activists for free, put them up, you know, and let them go do their thing. I don't want to jeopardize her, but let's just say she works for emergency services. And these are people that are, by all rights, they should be on the other side of the line. And they're helping. We are at that point where law enforcement is going to have to decide where they're at, what they're prepared to do. We've got a lot of potential because we do have a lot of vets. They came back. You know, they went over there, they signed up when they were 19 years old, didn't really know what they were signing up for, got over there, spent 4 or 5 years, came back and realized that what's going on here is not what they were killing people for. It's not what their friends died for. You know, they were sold the American dream, and the thing is, it was a dream. It's not real. And they're starting to realize that. A lot of these guys made their way into law enforcement. So the one thing from the trip is that when we went back and went downtown, where the riots happened after everything had more or less calmed down, the cops that were there, they looked ashamed. They really did. I mean, you had the few that wanted to, you know, what are you doing down here? Like, whatever. But you could tell the guys that had been there on shift, they looked embarrassed. And I do. I think they realized that they opened fire on an unarmed crowd. I mean, I think they realized they're the bad guys. And the fact that they realized that was one of the few things that gave me hope when I was there. So, I mean, we'll see how it plays out over the next few days. But I don't think we're going to see the level of police aggression that we saw that first night.
Yeah, man, I also experienced that firsthand here in San Diego with some of these cops. I mean, there was a few guys. There was one guy that literally stopped his car, got out of his car, and called a guy out. A cop called a guy out, tried to fight him. And then there was another cop that was pushing his car through the crowd. He was inching along, but there were people standing in front of him, you know, trying to not let him pass through. And he just kept his car going very slowly, but to the point where he was going to run these people over if they didn't move. And the guys last night here in San Diego, they just turned around and sat on the guy's hood as he started moving, and they were on the car while the car was moving. I mean, this is what it got down to here in San Diego. I can only imagine what happened in Ferguson. Now, I just want to – we have a huge roundtable going on right now, actually, Justin. And we've got about 8 people on the line here. So I want to go through and just – if anyone here wants to ask Justin a question, I'm going to go through the order of the people I have here. The caller from 307 area code, what would you like to talk about, or would you like to ask Justin a question about Ferguson? Okay, 347 isn't, they've got their mic muted up. So 307, is there anything you'd want to talk about right now? All right, I think they're just on the line to listen. So we'll just keep going on here with what's going on. And I wanted to get your opinion, Justin, as far as what you think about how all this stuff that's going on in Ferguson and all this civil disobedience and all this uproar about this killing of this of Mike Brown. What do you think about how it's spread all across the country? And like I was saying, it got real last night in San Diego. Last night we literally had our most radical protest that I've ever been to. And I know Manny was saying earlier, yeah, we've shut down freeways, but here in San Diego, man, that was the first time we've done that in a long time. So for us, that was like pretty radical. But what do you think, man? Now we've got protests going on in Canada. We've got protests going on in Mexico, and I just read that there's protests going on in London. Do you think there's a possibility here that this is the spark that's going to ignite a much larger movement?
Oh, absolutely. I was actually a little upset because I was watching the media coverage of Ferguson, and it was horrible. I mean, it was really bad. You know, when the state-run media is saying, you know, tear gas or smoke bombs to the people at home, you know that the feds have pulled out all the stops, that they're trying to change the story, and it didn't matter. Because of social media, people knew what was going on, and it started to spread, and of course it's going to spread to all these other communities. 2 miles from my house, some kid in a Walmart got shot because he was trying to buy a BB gun. You can go anywhere in the country, and an incident like Mike Brown happened. You know, it isn't, these protests are not all about Mike Brown. They're about 100 other kids. You know, so there's definitely room for a larger movement to be born here if people stay the course. If they don't riot themselves out, they need to save some of the anger.
That's what I'm talking about. The question of when. Everybody go.
Hello?
I think I got some feedback. I don't know what just happened.
Yeah, it's kind of choppy.
Yeah, it kind of went out of something. Yeah. Well, you know, it's basically, that's the point that I was saying earlier. You know, I actually been talking to, I'm a double veteran. I served the military in Mexico and I served the military here and stuff like that. And so I don't want to, you know, I mean, no disrespect to Mike Brown, but that's the problem. This thing, the kid's been shot 5-10 years ago. This has been happening way back past 10 years ago. And nobody said anything. I don't see why all of a sudden we sparked. But we cannot forget, like this brother says, you know, I've been concerned about forgetting about John Crawford. Poor guy got shot down there in Ohio. You know, I don't want people to forget about Ezell Ford down there shot here in Los Angeles, or Abrego, a Latino guy being shot for no reason. And then God knows how many people in San Diego. I don't want those people to be forgotten in the back burner and stuff like that, you know. So my question also is for Brother Justin. Give me an update on the John Crawford thing. How's it going?
Well, that's about to get interesting. The last time I was with the protesters, they told me the shooter's address. I guess that's where they're going to start protesting.
Okay.
So they're moving it up a step. The chief of police has decided to resign. Of course, he's saying it has nothing to do with this, even though he's only served 2 years. He's just saying it's time for him to go, which I agree it is. He needs to get the hell out, but it's not losing momentum. I think that the people involved are going to keep going.
Yeah, and that's why I think, like you were saying, Justin, about why this is able to spread all over the country, and not only that, but all over the world, is because there's so many cases, man. People in Ohio can are getting out there for John Crawford. People in LA are getting out for Azale Ford. Out here in San Diego, we're getting out for the multiple people that have been gunned down by the cops and the Border Patrol. So, I mean, this police violence, this police state, has become so rampant. You know, it's become everyday life for so many people. You know, that this is one of those problems in the U.S. You know, we've got this huge problem with the banking system, the Federal Reserve, foreign policy, and all these huge problems that are bankrupting the country and making us weaker and raiding the economy. But the police state is something that we can see. It slaps us in the face every day. We're all under threat of being pulled over by the cops every single day, just like the caller from 917 was pulled over on his bicycle. That's why the police state right now, and back to what Manny was saying, why is it happening right now when this has been happening for so many years? I mean, I saw some protest signs from the 70s. I was just in Birmingham, Alabama, where the police were gunning down people during the civil rights movement. And the reason I think why we can get so much traction right now, it goes back to what we said at the very beginning of the program. It's the internet and all the young people that are unplugged from the state-run corporate media and the propaganda. They're unplugged from that, and now they're receiving all of their information via social media or via the internet or via websites like theantimedia.org, no matter where they're going. It is no longer this corporate, monopolized, state-run media. You know, and that's why I think now is the big difference than what we had 10 years ago or 20 years ago when Rodney King was beaten. That was like the first instance. That was like the very first instance of citizen media showing police brutality. And he had to, the person that took that video had to somehow get it aired on TV. Now when we take video from our cell phones, we could just throw it up on YouTube, and then you go to it tomorrow morning, and all of a sudden your story has 500,000 views. You know what I mean? So that's the big difference between now and back then, is that we have this unleashing capability of modern technology, modern social media, citizen journalism. I mean, YouTube, live stream, Twitter, all that stuff. That is what has changed the game, man. And so now it's not like police violence or the police state is anything new. Sure, it's got worse since the Patriot Act and after 9/11 and all that stuff. But this stuff's been happening for so long. It's just that the corporate media refused to cover it until the Rodney King beating. Up until that time, the corporate media really didn't cover this stuff, and after that, they didn't cover it that much either. But now with the internet, where we've unleashed all this decentralized information, the whole entire game is changing, man. And then we got these apps like these guys are using in Hong Kong, like FireChat, where all the protesters can communicate together. It can make the protests more efficient. It could enable better tactics and better cat and mouse chess games like we did last night with the police. We trapped the cops down on the on ramp, and then when they moved all the cops to that one on ramp to try to hold us from going on the freeway, everybody was able to go back the other way. You know, and these are the tactics, the ideas, and the technology that are going to be able to further the cause of justice, no matter what the cause. I think the technology is what really makes the differing factor.
Absolutely.
I find arguments that Ray Lewis, by the way, that police officers need to start using love. I like that song by Ray Lewis down there in Philly, yeah?
Yeah, man, I actually have a clip here that I want to play for him. I might as well play it right now. This is the clip from Ray Lewis. He's a former, former police captain. From Philadelphia, and he was down in Ferguson, and this is one of the guys.
Linebacker too.
This is one of the guys that I think we were what Justin was talking about. These are the defectors, the guys that have all the experience that are able to come in and really make a difference. So I'm gonna play this audio right now. It's only 30 seconds long, so we can make some comments on it afterwards. Here we go.
Why do you feel it's important for you as an officer to be standing out here and representing this point of view?
The knowledge that there are some police that do support them. The second thing is I try to get a message to mainstream America that this system is corrupt, the police really are oppressing not only the black community, but also the whites. It's an oppressive organization now controlled by the 1%, corporate America. Corporate America is using police forces as their mercenaries.
So, yeah, that was Ray Lewis, former police captain of Philadelphia, man. He's down there in Ferguson, and he's, you know, making a stand with the protesters because he knows. He knows from the inside how corrupt the system is. And one point I do want to bring up, I didn't put it in my notes tonight, but from Joseph Lemieux, which has been doing some articles on the anti-media, making some cool videos. He did an article a few days ago, 2 days ago, about the prison industrial complex. And it goes back to what Ray Lewis was just saying. I mean, the police are not only the agent of the state and the face of the state, but we have to remember who actually controls the state. Well, the state is controlled. Primarily, the state is controlled by, you know, the Fed, which own the monetary system, which are owned by the banks and Wall Street, but also other corporate actors that are basically the financiers of the government. In Mexico, they got the drug cartels. In the U.S., we got the corporate cartels, the pharmaceuticals, yeah. Wall Street, I mean, Monsanto, you name it. These are the people that are...
The prison industrial complex is the big one, too.
Exactly, yeah, the prison industrial complex. And the article that Joseph wrote a few days ago and the video that he made was showing how a lot of these companies like Walmart, like AT&T, like Best Buy, are all benefiting from the prison industrial complex. And let's not forget, these are also the same companies that are benefiting from slave labor coming from China. I mean, a lot of the products made in China are made from prison and slave labor. So it's a huge problem, and it's not just isolated here in the U.S., but the prison industrial complex, it's the new form of slavery. And that's what I think Ray Lewis was just basically making the point of, is that the police have become the enforcers for these corporations, man. These are the same corporations that are helping to raid the pensions of these very same cops that are doing the dirty work for them. And as Justin was saying, and as also what I witnessed in San Diego, a lot of those cops are realizing that, and they were throwing up the peace sign. They were nodding their heads when I was screaming at them to stop enforcing unjust laws and to stop enforcing the drug war. These guys were nodding their heads, throwing up peace signs. You know, so I think that the shift is here, and it's just like with Edward Snowden, where we saw like two or three other leakers coming out for the NSA. And as this story started developing in Ferguson from back in August, how many defections have we seen? There was one police department in Florida where like three or four, maybe five of the officers came out and said, hey, you know, our captain requires us to meet this quota for traffic tickets, and they were notorious for having a speed trap and stuff. And what happened, they had to dissolve the entire police force. So I think we're starting to see it, man. People are starting to switch sides. The people on the inside that have a conscience, they're starting to realize, okay, yeah, something is wrong with what we're doing. These guys are starting to come out of the woodwork. They're starting to become whistleblowers. And this is going to help the movement, you know, shift away from this whole police state attitude. And that's what it's going to take, is a massive, massive conscious shift. Because it's one thing for the youth, and the youth, of course, start almost every movement. But in order for it to reach these older folks, to reach our parents, to reach the baby boomers and stuff like that, it's got to become more mainstream. And how can you go more mainstream than having mass whistleblowers stepping forward? I think we're
well,
moving
you already
in the right
had
direction.
A case your way, by the way. You already had a case your way, Nick and DB. You had a case close to home. You had a police chief basically call in the county sheriff that I need your help. They called the FBI, I need your help. And so the FBI came into Calexico because that police chief says all my officers, there's a lot of corruption in Calexico, California, small little town right by the border. And basically, you know, that's what happened and stuff like that. But before we go on and stuff like that, I want to say happy Thanksgiving to Justin. Happy Thanksgiving to the brother over here, Nick, that's doing a good job. And definitely happy Thanksgiving to DD Shorts, okay?
Thanks, man. Appreciate your call. Appreciate your input. Yes,
I got a question.
Go ahead.
It's off topic from what we're currently speaking about, but I wanted to know you guys' perspectives on specifically the media as far as on TV. Basically, what I'm seeing is constant publication of the event in Ferguson, not to double back, but they're taking both angles of the story. For instance, something like CNN constantly is doing 24-hour, you know, coverage of the protests and this and that and the next thing, but they're throwing in the opposite side of the agenda. Like, you know what I'm, I don't know if I'm being clear, but,
right, they're playing both sides so they can't lose.
Huh? Yeah, they had a body language specialist this morning trying to, with interview with Darren Wilson and things like that, and basically she's attempting to slander the image portrayed by the media that they were running the previous night. So I want to know what you guys' perspectives on that is. Why would they be doing that other than to regular confusion? Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, to me, the media has got such a bad reputation that they've got to actually criticize themselves in order to maintain any kind of credibility. Now, on Fox News, on but I think both of these shows are on Sunday. On Fox News, they have a guy that is called Media – I forget what it's called, Media something. But this guy goes through and he criticizes the media, and he even criticizes – it's a Fox News show, and he'll actually go and criticize Fox News. And then also on CNN, there's a guy on Sunday – that does a very, very similar show where he goes and criticizes all the news networks and stuff. And they criticize their own reporting, man. But it's because they've lost so much credibility and people know that they're such such a flaky source of information that they've actually got to go and contradict their own stuff. Otherwise, they'll lose complete legitimacy. And, you know, right now they've got a solid base with the really old people. Like I said, there was a survey out a couple months ago that showed that the median age of a CNN watcher was about 57 years old. The median age of a MSNBC watcher was 56. The median age of Fox News was 68 years old. So these guys are they've basically walled themselves off. Where the only people that watch this crap anymore are old people. So they've got to go and like throw bones to the younger people that say, "Oh yeah, I knew that was what was going on. I knew he was lying." So the few young people that are actually still watching, they're hoping that they're going to share that information. You know, so to me, it's like they have to do this kind of stuff. Otherwise, they're going to be very, very irrelevant in the coming years because all of their demographics are aging. They have a demographic that's going to be dead in about 20 years. So, you know, even just because of people dying, the economics doesn't look good for CNN and Fox News. Right. And so they've got to try to shift over. And, I mean, just you'll see, man, especially as the presidential election comes up, everybody's going to be using Obama as a punching bag. And we're going to see the exact same thing that happened to George Bush when he was coming
we're
into –
we're going to get Marco Rubio.
Yay. He's going to fix everything, right? But that's the message that's going to be pushed out in the media, just like they pushed out for Obama. It's like, oh, everything is Bush's fault, and Obama's going to fix it up. And now in the coming election, it's going the exact opposite narrative is going to come out. It's like everything's Obama's fault, and the Republican is going to come in and save us economically. And
who's going to vote for that guy? Just because, simply because of cultural lines, and that's again, we're getting led astray by culture.
Yeah.
Well, another problem with the media is any story has two sides, and that's the way they see it. But in reality, I mean, you get four people together. And they can't figure out where to go to lunch. But if something as complex as the rioting in Ferguson, there's only two possibilities. I mean, it doesn't make sense. So when they try to show both sides, they're really, what they're doing is they're framing the area that you're allowed to debate in. They're going to say, either you're for the black looters or you're for the white cop. But the reality is, that's not what's going on. But it's one of the oldest propaganda tricks. You frame both sides, and then you make people pick a side. Both sides support what they want to say. So that's one of the biggest problems with the media, and that's one of the reasons they look like they're contradicting themselves. They're giving you two options to pick from.
Yeah, exactly, man, and it's all about this whole controlled opposition idea and the whole conquer, you know, divide and conquer, and it goes back to this old Noam Chomsky quote where he said, you know, they create this debate where the debate is only about this very, very narrow question, and then they make everybody fight against this, you know, they make people pick two sides and fight against a very narrow part of the debate. Now, what does the debate become when we talk about mainstream stuff? Well, it's the debate has become, oh yeah, the protesters, the rioters are either justified or unjustified. That's what the debate has been devolved into, and this is by design. This is what they want us to talk about. They don't want us to say, okay, well, the overarching message here is that the police state is completely out of control. Cops are killing way too many people. People are being executed in the streets. The drug war is locking up way too many people. You know, this is what we should be talking about, but they want to frame this whole debate, oh, is the rioting okay or is the rioting not okay? You know, and the rioting is beside the point. But here's a point that I wanted to bring up here. And the point why I refuse to condemn the rioting is because, as Manny was saying earlier in the show, you know, there's all these other cases. There's the John Crawford case. There's the Kelly Thomas case. And don't get me wrong, there's been plenty of uproar about these two other cases. But the reason why Ferguson has created this new debate, and I remember back here in the local mayor's debates, people were talking about, the candidates were talking about militarization of the police. They were fielding questions from the audience, and the audience was asking about militarization of the police. The reason why everybody was talking about it was because people rioted in Ferguson. I'm not condoning the rioting, but at the same time, I'm not saying that it didn't help in the cause to elevate the conversation about the militarization of the police.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, those are from the public eye. We can't advocate rioting. We'll end up in a cell somewhere. But I mean, you don't hear very many of us condemning it. So take from that what you will.
Yeah, exactly, man. So it's really elevated the conversation, and Mike Brown could have just been another guy dead by at the hand of the cops. But you know, fortunately or unfortunately, the people in Ferguson, Missouri, decided to riot. Maybe because of so much media attention, we covered the hell out of it the first day that it went down, and we may have contributed to the amount of people and the amount of anger that was going on. And you know, Cassius, one of the other writers that we have on the anti-media, he wrote an article about this kid that got killed by the police down in Florida, where the mom called the cops on the police, called the cops to get her son to the hospital to force him to take his medication. The cops showed up and killed the guy. Now, the article that we wrote about it was it came 6 days after the event happened. But the following day, I'll tell you what happened. There was a bunch of people out in the streets in that small town in Florida that were calling for justice. You know, and this is the new possibilities that we're starting to open up. You know, no longer do we have to allow the corporate media to control the narrative. We're able to take that and use social media to help, you know, bring the real story out to the people. And there's nothing realer than seeing live stream video that's going on in Ferguson. That's one of the things that was so amazing about what's been going on over there, is that there's been a huge influx of citizen journalism and live streamers. I mean, how many live streamers were out there in Ferguson? 50, 100, maybe more? I was following like six of them. I was following as many as I could. And I was actually able to get, you know, to see what was actually happening behind the lines. And last night here in San Diego, I mean, the corporate media people were out covering this protest. And believe me, they tried to spin it as negatively as they could, even though there was zero violence. There was nothing but peaceful civil disobedience. Yeah, we took the freeway. We didn't create any violence. But they called it violence by us taking the freeway. But that's what they do. But I'll tell you what. The corporate media was on the other side of the line. They were behind the police line. They were on the other side. And the live streamers last night were inside the protest. We were actually seeing what was happening, you know. And that's the big thing that's so revolutionizing with the technology. I was watching one of the live streams that were going on in Ferguson on Wednesday night. The guy had 90,000 people on his live stream watching live. So there's a lot of people turning away from this crap on TV. Now, don't get me wrong, TV set a bunch of records on Wednesday night. There was like 7 million people or something watching Fox News at one time. But there was 90,000 people watching one live stream. That's revolutionary. That's unheard of numbers. You know, and there was 50 to 100 different live streams. A lot of the ones I was looking at, 10,000 people, 15,000 people, 20,000 people watching it, 30,000 people. We're bringing the new perspective, and I think that's what people value. Thank you guys for all calling in. Hopefully we got to everybody. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Manny. Make sure you guys check us out starting next week, Monday through Friday. But we're gonna have a show this Friday, but next week, Monday through Friday. Catch you guys then. Yo, here we go, close through the stereo.